I hope that we'll have Shir next week, but I can't guarantee it. I'll be coming back probably late Wednesday night or maybe Thursday from a wedding. So, and going to Israel, Motzei Shabbos. So, if at all possible, I desperately want to have the Shir, but please stay tuned to email announcements. I guess when worst comes to worst, we'd put up a sign on the door, but hopefully by next week we'll know. But as of now, it's... In 2 weeks, yes. In 2 weeks, for sure, I will be in Eretz Yisrael, Mirz Hashem. No, I don't need it. Please take it. Thank you. In 2 weeks, we will definitely not have a shir. But I hope for next week. I hope for Parshas Chayisara, we will have a shir. Okay. Last year, for Parshas Vayera, we spoke about Bikur Cholim and certain aspects of it, and I wanted to discuss a different angle or two of Bikur Cholim this year, specifically as it relates to Shabbos. Again, the connection to Bikur Cholim into Parshas Vayera is very famous from the opening pasuk of our Parsha Vayera, Elov Hashem Be'elonei Mamrei. Hashem comes to visit Avraham, Yoshe Pesach Ohel Kachom Hayom, and Rashi quotes the Maimar Chazal from Gemara Sota Daf Yudalid, Levakar Esachola, it was coming to be Mevakar Chola because Avraham was infirm, and according to one version, particularly infirm, because of the third day of his milah, and Hashem is coming to be mevaker chola. Chazal see in this, and this is the Gemara in Sota that Rashi quotes. I'll just read you a lashon from Sota, Daf Yadalid, a very profound lesson that we can learn. In fact, it's not only limited to Bikur Cholim and teaching us how important Bikur Cholim is, which would be important in its own right, but actually is used as a model for many things. It's, Gemara tells us in Sota and Daf Yodalin, my Vam Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, my Dichsev Achra Hashem Elokechem Telchu, this idea that you follow after Hashem. How can someone follow the Shechina? Look for Nemar, etc., etc. Hashem is a consuming fire, you'll get destroyed if you get too close. Ella, etc. Just like Hashem does all these great kindnesses, such as being Malbish Arumim, so too we should be. And furthermore, the Gemara continues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biker Cholim, Dechsiv Ar Pasuk, Hashem Vayera, I love Hashem, Be'elonei Mamrei, Afata, Biker Cholim, Biker Cholim. So this Pasuk is actually fit into this pattern of the Mahu Afata, what's the Latin, imitatio Dei, the idea of imitating Hashem being one of the great chiyuvim that we have in the area of Gemilas Chesed. And we discussed last year, it's not for tonight, we discussed last year the relationship between the specifics of Malbish Arumim, Mevaker Cholim, Nichum Avelim, and the broader category of Yahafla Recha Kamocha. We primarily focused last time on the Shitas HaRambam, who seems to discuss, in a certain context, talks about Yahafla Recha Kamocha as a mitzvah. Asei d'oraisa, and Bikur Cholim is an example of that. And yet, when the Rambam speaks about Bikur Cholim itself, he describes it, it seems like, as a derabanan. So we mentioned at the time, different mahalchim from earlier Achronim, as well as more recent Rosh Yeshivas. On the one hand, we discussed Shlomko Berman. Zatzal was one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Panovich and the son-in-law of the Stipler. He had one mahalach in his sefer Asher L'Shlomo. And then we also mentioned a different mahalach from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, who had it in the sefer called Od Yosef Yisrael Ben Yichai, a sefer that he had written in memory of a grandson of his, who had died in Hilchos Bikur Cholim in Avelis. But that's a quick reference, not even a review, I guess, but a reference to what we discussed last year. What I want to discuss now is something more specific, and that is the question, as I said, of Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. Now, why does Bikur Cholim have anything to do with Shabbos per se? So that comes up in Gemara Masech the Shabbos and Daf Yud Beis. It's at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and it really carries through Yud Beis Amud Beis as well. The Gemara at the bottom of Daf Yud Beis and Shabbos tells us it's a machlokas. I don't know if it's one of the well-known ones, but it is one of the machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, you can't do Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. Beis Shammai says it. Not a way to earn popularity throughout history, but that's a difficult opinion, but if you believe it, you believe it. Beis Shammai was a man of principle. Beis Hillel says more, so to speak, softer psak. Yes, Bikur Cholim, yes, Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. The Gemara leaves that itself as a machlokes. And then when you turn over the page on Daf Yud Beis and Amud Beis, there's some other Mamre Chazal. That's where we'll get to, I hope, a second part of the Shir that discussed the idea of Misha Berach and changing the Nusach of Tfilah and Shabbos Himilizog. That comes from Daf Yud Beis and Amud Beis. But in that context, in the continuation, the Gemara quotes in Rav Chanina that Bekoshi, Bekoshi, he tiro chachamim, lavakir chacholim, ulanachem esavelim b'shabbos. Bekoshi, with difficulty, the chachamim nebuch, so to speak, begrudgingly, were matirit. So, of course, one question, very basically, is what's the begrudgingness? Which is another way of saying, why did Beis Shammai go even further and not allow it? And the second question is, how does the Maimer of Rabbi Chanina relate to the Machlokas on Daf Yudbeis Amud Aleph of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? In other words, Rabbi Chanina is mattering it begrudgingly. So is that because fundamentally he holds like Beis Hillel, but he says even Beis Hillel is only begrudging? Even Beis Hillel, in essence, agrees to whatever the problem of Beis Shammai is. But Beis Shammai felt, therefore it can't be good, and Beis Hillel begrudgingly was mattering. That's one possibility. Or alternatively, that is, so to speak, a variation of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai was going so far to Aser, so Rabbi Chanina said, I agree to you, Beis Shammai, about the problem, but begrudgingly be Mekel. But maybe Beis Hillel doesn't hold to the problem at all. And maybe, as the Rishonim speak about, Bishofi, without any reservation, no problem, what could be bad, or more positively, what could be a better way to spend the Shabbos? Doing mitzvahs, doing chesed. So these are open questions. Just reading the Shakla Vatari of the Gemara, those are two open questions. So let's try to mention the first one, and then we'll get to the second one and some of the halachos that emerge from that. So we mentioned, the first question was, why should Beis Shammai be Oser? Perhaps, although that's not explicit in Rishonim, at least not on the daf, we'll have to get to that subsequently. But let's work backwards and start with, why was Rav Chanina, what was Rav Chanina mean when he said, Bekoshi? So Rashi gives us a little bit of a hint. Rashi says there's Nesha Mitztair. So who's Mitztair? Who's Mitztair? Rashi says, the visitor will be upset. What's the problem with that? You're going to impinge, as the visitor, it'll impinge on your own Shabbos. And this is, again, is elaborated on and more explicitly, but basically all the Rishonim give variations or fill in pieces of that general puzzle. So, for example, the Marsha quotes, I didn't have to look it up in the riff itself, I assume it's there, but the Marsha, for example, that I looked at, see, he quotes from the riff, that the riff just says a different version, you'll get a nuance, it'll make you cry. Again, and crying is, you know, Shabbos, you know, la'onig basa. You know, Shabbos is to make you happy. You're not supposed to be crying on Shabbos. Or, for that matter, Rabbeinu Chananel, on the side of the page, he elaborates even more fully. But again, it's all in the same direction, that perhaps you're going to be there and everything's going to be fine. And whatever you see, but okay, it's hard to see it, but you're okay with it. And then you're about to leave, or maybe it's not even when you're about to leave, and all of a sudden the Chola makes some emotionally heartfelt plea. You know, you're there, you're fine. And all of a sudden the Chola says, I don't understand, how's it going to be? I'm going to leave my children behind, I'm going to leave my wife, and it's so terrible, and I'm so scared. No one really talks that way, at least not as flippantly as I am, so forgive me. But that's the point. But it could be very heartfelt, it could be very emotional, it could be very moving. And says Rabbeinu Chananel, you know, you thought you were fine, you think you can control yourself, and then you get one of these experiences. You know, I mentioned, I'll remember, I think I said it last year, because last year, one of the things we discussed also in the Bikur Cholim Shir was whether you are allowed to daven for someone to die. And someone's in so much pain. So that's a discussion based on a Gemara, and while most Rishonim seem to either not discuss it or be against, there is a Ran. There is a Ran that allows it, and an Aruch HaShulchan that quotes that Ran, Allah Halacha. Again, so what do you take from that Gemara? Was that the right thing you do? Was that the wrong thing you do? There is a Ran and there is an Aruch HaShulchan. I don't want to reiterate the whole Shir, just to remind you, just to give you a sense from the emotional sense. Just al derech this Rabbeinu Chananel, how emotional things can be. I've mentioned in other contexts when I was when I went to visit for the first time. Hey, forgive me. Professor, thank you, Professor Shimoff. I had never met him before. It was right when I moved into town. He was already sick. Somebody told him, probably Myron the Mitzvah Man, that I should go. And I went to visit him. I still remember it was a winter day. They live on top of a hill. My car barely got up the hill. And when I got there, almost as soon as he said hello to me, he asked me, "Can I daven to die?" Right? This is real stuff. This is real stuff. Incredibly difficult stuff. So, you know, that was an Erev Shabbos, by the way, and it ruined my day. In fact, I spoke, my drush of that Shabbos was about the difficulty, importance and difficulty at one and the same of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So, if that was on Shabbos, there would not have been an Onik Shabbos. So, Rabbeinu Chananel, I don't know how common it is, but it's certainly not unheard of that a Bikur Cholim visit could be very, very difficult. That's Gufa why it's so important. And that's why it's such a big mitzvah, and Chazal speaks so glowingly about the mitzvah. But nevertheless, these are the reasons why Rabbi Chanina, the Rosh Hashanah understands, was worried that maybe it's not the best way to spend Shabbos. But apparently, nevertheless, Bekoshi Hitiro, Chazal, as part of Rabbi Chanina at least, were Matir. Now, the question which I now want to mention, again, which was really the first question we asked, is, so if that's Rabbi Chanina, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, how does that relate to the Machlokes of Beisham Beis Hillel? So, if you take a look at the Rambam, in the Chashabbos, as well as the Tur Shulchan Aruch, they just quote straight, without any editorials, without any caveats, just straight, Mutter Levakir Asachol LeBeshabbos. No commentary, no explanation, just very much straightforward. However, in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham adds, and the Mishnah Berurah cites this Magen Avraham, without just, you know, as sometimes the Mishnah Berurah does, just, you know, appending onto the text of the Shulchan Aruch itself, Ubekoshi Hitiro Mifnei Shemitzvair. He, in other words, the Mishnah Berurah is appending Rabbi Chanina to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Again, we know the Psak is like the Beit Hillel. So it seems, and the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva where he points this out. I don't know if other people before this have pointed it out, but it seems to be very obvious that seems to be a machlokes. You know, you don't think of these as parties who are arguing over Pshat and Gemara, but basically that is what it is. The Rambam and the Tur who follows him against the Magen Avraham had to understand the relationship between what we'll call Yud Beis Amud Aleph and Yud Beis Amud Beis. Do you see Rabbi Chanina as a qualification or qualifying the Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? Apparently, the Rambam in the tour held that Beis Hillel holds its mutter without any reservations, period. Rabbi Chanina said it's Bekoshi, and we'll have to see if there's some nafkaminas of that. So the Rambam in the tour don't quote that at all. Because they held that that's basically Be'ikvos Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai wants to be Aser, and Rabbi Chanina said, you know, Chazal weren't ready to go as far as Beis Shammai, but they were sensitive to the issue, Bekoshi Hitiru. But the Rambam never mentions that. Why? Because that's in Beis Shammai world. Beis Hillel had nothing to do with that. However, the Magen Avraham, who stoops it in, so to speak, and he adds this Bekoshi to the Psak, which is obviously following Beis Hillel. So the Ezra says, what apparently is happening is that the Magen Avraham understood that Rabbi Chanina was coming to explain Lahalacha, that even, it's not that Beis Shammai was sensitive and Beis Hillel didn't care or was insensitive to the problem. Beis Hillel also knew that it could be an emotional thing to do Bikacholim, and maybe it would impinge on the Shabbos. But Kamash Malan, Bekoshi Hitiru, the upside, the gain of Bikra Cholim, we'll have to see if we can fine-tune that, but for now, that's what Tzitz Eliezer says. That, therefore, says Rabbi Chanina, that's why Beis Hillel nevertheless argued on Beis Shammai and were makel. It's not that they were obtuse. They understand that sometimes it's going to be difficult, and just like it can be difficult 6 days a week, it can be difficult on Shabbos, and maybe you'll have a crummy Shabbos afternoon after having a particular visit. It's a very painful thing. Nevertheless, and that's why it's Bekoshi. But nevertheless, Beis Hillel says, Mutter, Bekoshi Hitiru, because, and that's why the Magen Avraham, even in the orbit of Beis Hillel, adds to that. Now you'll say, what's the Nafkimina, Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, this Mutter? So we'll have to see if these two understandings may lead to, if you take the Magen Avraham approach, are there some limitations? Whereas according to the Rambam and the Tur, there's no reason there should be any limitations. It seems that we're Makil Beshofi without any reservations. You definitely want to say something. Bekoshi, you want to, I'm gonna alleviate that pain, yes.
I don't understand the pshat he gave the Rambam though, because the Gemara says many places that Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, book of Beis Hillel in the Mishnah. So why would the Rambam delve into the Rambam's Mefarish Beis Shammai? That would be a stretch.
Say that again.
No, it's not. No, the Rambam is not being Mefarish Beis Shammai. There's a Gemara. The Gemara, you know, we have this. Gemara elaborates on Machlokes and Beis Shammai still all the time. They're adopting straight going through their Machlokes, and even though, so to speak, in hindsight, we know how to pass.
But the
yeah.
Why?
We spend Dafim in various
things after discussing. But the golden and the Mefarish.
No. I don't again. So if you don't like, don't call it Mefarish. Rabbi Chanina understood, according to this approach, Rabbi Chanina was describing a reality based on that approach. That's all.
What do we say? And just definition of it isn't Bikkurim is an asay, and Oned Shabbos is an asay.
Right.
So you want to say that. One
aspect can't be without another aspect. Again, and you would say that, yeah, because one is pre-existing. In other words, it's you know, we don't do things that are going to, you know, we don't add I'll give you as a broad muscle, but it's on my mind because between Mincha Maariv we're learning. So between, I'll give you as an example. Again, it's a broad marshal, but I think it's, I hope it'll illustrate the point. It's on my mind because in Tumin Chamar and Shul now during the week, we've been learning Hilchos Tefillin. So one of the halachas we learned either at the beginning of this week or the end of last week was the halacha that, you know, there's incredibly high levels of responsibility you have when you have the Tefillin on. The Kedushas Tefillin is incredibly difficult to maintain. And that's why, even though Mikra Adin should be wearing Tefillin all day, but we limit ourselves to davening, and Shacharich actually only talks about only parts of davening, not all of davening, but okay, our minhag is all of davening. So, on that, you already have the idea of, nu, but what, you're giving up a mitzvah saseh to araisa, because maybe something will go wrong. That's a lo saseh, true, or that's a bitul saseh, not being, but, or in the other more illustrative example, I mentioned that Rishon Brura says it, the Aruch Shulchan says it better, actually, is a question of women. Right? Mikra din, women are paturos. Okay, it's mislishman grama. And if you look in the Rishonim, they treat women wearing tefillin just like women wearing shaking a lulav and women hearing a shofar. There's nothing controversial or consequential about it. It's a mitzvah says my grandma. If they want to do it, they can do it. Should they make a bracha, shvardim, ashkenazim, the whole discussion. So it comes along the Ramah and says they shouldn't do it. Why not? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be staying with Aruch Shulchan says even clearer, because here you have an issue where someone's going to put be machnas themselves, which ordinarily we encourage, or certainly are part of it, but usually encourage, actually, why not do mitzvah zaseh, lefnim yishar zadin, because there's no downside. But here, where there's a tremendous downside, and, as Aruch Shulchan says, there's no reason to assume that women are less capable, but they're certainly not uniquely, or extremely more capable of being shomer on gufnaki, so inevitably, kimat, they're going to be mevatel, and perhaps be mevazel the tefillin. So, if you can better stay at zero, then risk, you know, go, it's like in stocks, lahavdil, if I have those, you know, in something like, in this kind of, you know, here the you know, the financial, the spiritual advisor is saying, you know what, better stay where you are than go for the gold, but lose your shirt. And that's exactly what the Ramah is saying, as the Aruch Shulchan understands them to come there. So, I don't want to get, no tefillin questions. Just using that as a marshal. But, again, phenomenon here would be that you have the Chashabbos, Oneg is a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv that certainly predates, so to speak, your walk down the block to be mevaker chola. So you'll say, what's the downside? Two mitzvahs at once, great. Bikur cholim and Shabbos, halavai. So the worry is, yeah, but if you'll do bikur cholim and then it'll be so emotional that you'll mevatel your oneg, maybe that's not so appropriate. Kamash lan, either with hesitation or without any hesitation. Bottom line, we're mekel. But the reason that there would be an issue, and perhaps we'll have to see in a second, I didn't say this yet, but I will now, maybe that's goof of the reason why Rebbe Shama is aser, is because of this concern over Oneg Shabbos. I'm not here to give a share about Oneg Shabbos per se, but it's certainly, I mean, what Joel is asking brings out what I was already mentioning implicitly. You see from this, even though that's not the goal of the share per se, it's how significant Oneg Shabbos is.
And that Oneg Shabbos is defined by emotion.
Yes, among other things, yes. Yes, there's a lot. You'll remind me, Blinetter, if next time, or if we'll do an Oneg Shabbos year. I don't know, I've given Shiram on Oneg Shabbos before. I usually talk about Halakas Neiros and things like that. I don't remember ever if I discussed this. This is a great area to re-examine, maybe even more deeply, because it obviously has great implications for Oneg Shabbos. That's not our focus tonight, but you're bringing up a good point. Let me get a little bit further. Let's cover a little bit more ground, then I'll take some more questions. Because I want to get into the issue of the following, which is that until now it's all theoretical. Until now it's all theoretical, because the bottom line is, we have a Beis Hillel, we have a Shulchan Aruch. So I'm telling you over, Tzitzel Yezer, Shtikl Torah, that maybe there, this is the Machlokes, maybe that's the Machlokes. But at the end of the day, until now, we're only talking about a Shita that's not Paskin-like. It's a Beis Shammai, or a Beis Hanina, however you want to say it. But we're not Paskin like that, perhaps. So, the question is, are there any Nafkin Minas? And the answer is, there may very well be. So, for example, the Shari Tshuva, on the page in Mishnah Berurah, the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Machzik Bracha, who quotes in the name of Chachmei Musar, I'm not sure who that's referring to, but in the name of the Machzik Bracha, that says the following. He's very critical of people who wait until Shabbos to do Birkat Cholim. Again, the Moshel from the Tefillin is, I think, a relevant one. Don't risk it. You can get the upside, you can get the mitzvah, and again, not just the mitzvah points, but the good of actually being mevaker chola on Tuesday with no downside. So if you have a bad Tuesday night, that's okay, because you're depressed. But you don't do it on Shabbos, says the Master Baruch. He's upset that people are waiting for Shabbos. However, says the Shari Tshuva, he accepts that, but then he adds two things, one a kula, so to speak, and one a chumra. The kula is, well, if that's the reason that you're critical of it, so perhaps, that only makes sense for someone who deliberately waits. In other words, you could have gone on Tuesday, but you wait until Shabbos because it's easier or whatever. But if you simply have no time, right, you're too busy with work, that's why you don't go on during the week. But on Shabbos is when you have free time. So no, so then Shai Shub says that's okay. In other words, he says, the Machzik Bracha was only critical of people who could have gone on Tuesday, but they decided they're going to wait on Shabbos, it'll be easier for them. But if you can't go any other time, and the alternative is don't do it at all, or do it on Shabbos, says the Shari Tshuva, it will still be okay. However, that's, so to speak, a kula, if you will, of the Shari Tshuva. But a Chumrah, this shows you that he's accepting the hesitancy, which the Machzik Bracha already expresses. And the Shari Tshuva does express it. He concludes, and he says, if you have to know yourself, this is an important lesson in all of life, that if you have to know, self-awareness is the key. Know yourself. If you're rach levav, if you're a sensitive person, I don't mean that the alternative here is that you're a mean person, but you're particularly sensitive, and you know that either because of your personality and or the person you're going to see, it's going to be upsetting. Right? Some people know it's just the way they are. They can go and visit and it's horrible, but then they'll move on. It doesn't make them bad people. On the contrary, they're doing bigger cholam. Obviously, they're sensitive people. But there are other people who are going to go, and whether it's in front of the cholam or not, are going to be either visibly or maybe even only internally, but are going to be terribly upset. You have to know yourself, says the Shari Tshuva. And if you are what he calls a rach levav, you have a soft, sensitive heart, and it's going to really upset you, so then he says, you shouldn't go. You shouldn't go. You should go during the week. And if you can't go during the week, then I guess it's just not for you. I guess it's just not for you. That is what the Shari Tshuva says. And I'll just mention, some of you who may learn Daf Yomi or some other stuff, there's, you know, in the new Sidra of Daf Yomi, there's all sorts of sfarim that have come out following the Daf Yomi cycle. So one of them is a sefer from Rav Zilberstein in Bnei Brak called Chashukei Chemed, which is a collection. It's a chapsis, of course. That's how I got it. It's Alpi Seder Hadaf, and it's basically shelos that were asked, so to speak, of Zilberstein of Halacha Lamaisa, which correspond to issues on that particular daf. So you're not going to get usually shot in the Tosfos, so he's not going to tell you about a Pnei Yeshua versus a Marsha. But he says a lot of it is practical halachic shilas, some more connected to the daf, some a little bit more peripheral. So I took a look right before I came over here. I took a look. What does he have to say on Daf Yud Beis? And sure enough, he discusses a few shilas of bigger cholim, some of which are important but not related to Shabbos. But he does discuss the shilas. He said somebody went to him and said they had done a mishaberech, which I hope we'll have time for before I finish this year, the issue of mishaberech on Shabbos. But they had done a mishaberech on Shabbos. They came to the gabbai, so they wanted to do a mishaberech on mincha also. And the gabbai said, we don't do that. We only do Mishaberech once on Shabbos. We don't do it at Mincha also. So they asked the Zilberstein, Yafa Osa or Lo Yafa Osa? I don't know if they meant the Gabbai or the Shoel, but what's the issue? So the only Ha'ara that he mentions, he says he doesn't seem to think why there should be a problem. Was this Midas Sodom? Getting back to another topic of the Parsha. Why did the Gabbai not do it? So he suggests perhaps it relates, again, just to show you that even Halacha Lamaisa, this whole tension, the Beis Shammai concern, the Rebbe Chanina concern, the Magen Avraham concern, even though we're patnei Be'er Shulchan Aruch, mutter, nevertheless, says Rav Zilberstein, that approach, if there's a kehillah that has such a minug, maybe that's an echo of it. In other words, you shouldn't do too much. In other words, the point is that even there is a line where we're concerned that it's one thing to daven once, but to daven again, maybe that's going to... Again, it's just a suggestion, and I don't know if he's necessarily endorsing that a shul should have that minug, but it's interesting that that was his defense for his suggested explanation for that particular... He did not mention that, sorry. He did not mention that. I guarantee if you had asked anything about the Menachos, they would have told you. But that is not what Rav Zilberstein said. It's not the first time there's been a little bit of a divide on that issue between the Rabbanim and the Baal Matim. We each respect each other, and we'll move on to live another day. Okay, so getting back to the Tzitz Eliezer, both in this tshuva that I mentioned, which is in Chelek Yedalet, as well as some of you may know, the Tzitz Eliezer is one of the great writers and prolific writers on medical halacha. And in fact, aside from many tshuvas relating to that, he has a whole group of essays in Chelek Hay called Ramat Rachel, where he has all sorts of essays just on Hilchos Cholim. And in this Ramat Rachel, which is in Chelek, I think it's Chelek Hay of Tzitz Eliezer, but it's the same Shtetl Torah as in both Tshuvas, basically, he digs up a She'iltos, and of all places, Parshas in Sefer Vayikra. A She'iltos by Rabbi Chaigon, who discusses this issue, and he points out that the She'iltos seems to be explicit, which we've kind of been hinting at, but we have not said, but now I will say explicitly, in the name of the She'iltos, says, in a sort of, again, a sort of a Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenberg Shlita's, he found this, it's his gold mine, he found it. The She'iltos basically says that all of these issues that we're alluding to, that is goof of the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Okay, the Rishonim don't say that explicitly. The Rishonim only give their comments on Rav Chanina, and we were extrapolating back, has Chanina related to Shammai Zohol? But Shilto says explicitly, this is my focus. Namely, a Shammai who osers, it's because he holds, it's going to be a bitul tainuk. Shilto says that explicitly. It's fascinating, but it's there, it's on the books. How I sort of bitul, don't they care about tainuk, or don't they think people are going to be emotional? So it says the Shilto says, yes, people might get emotional. And yes, I might be about owning Shabbos, and yes, we care about owning Shabbos. But the mitzvah of Bigur Cholim is simply more important. After all, other Mamari Chazal that teach us that you're in essence somehow being Mechaya the person. So
it's bigger than
the Shechina. Right. So that's why we pass him like Beis Hillel. But and I want to add, he quotes again also the Tzitzel Yezer found. A little less esoteric, but still, I wouldn't have looked at it myself, I admit. He looks at the Lavush. The Lavush in Shulchan Aruch on this Simon. Also, when he frames the halacha, he's not giving you a parish in the Gemara, but he's passing like Beis Hillel, and he says, even though you might be Mevatel Olam Shabbos, he bevorns it. Even though you might be Mevatel Olam Shabbos, but it's still more important to do Bigur Cholim. Comes along the Tzitz Eliezer and says, based on this She'iltis, and based on this Lavush, we can reject even that last Chumrah of the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva said you have to know yourself. I don't know if Chumrah is the right word, frankly. Because he's being made under Chacholim. But Chumrah in Onik Shabbos, so to speak, the Psa. He says if you know yourself and you know that you're sensitive and you're going to get crying, it's going to be ruin your whole Shabbos afternoon. So Shari Tshuva said, don't go. You have to know yourself. Don't go. Says the Rav Tzitzel Yezer. But that's all based on one kivun, one mahalach, which is al derech the Magen Avram, which is al derech the idea that Rabbi Chanina relates to even Beis Hillel, and that even though we're paskening, it's mutter, which is the Beis Hillel world, but this Rabbi Chanina concern still is relevant, bekoshi hitiro, and if you are too emotional, maybe for you they weren't even matir bekoshi. But says Rav Tzitzel Yezer, according to the She'iltis, and according to the Levush, that's taking what he had called the Rambam approach, which sees Beis Hillel completely rejecting it. Again, not because he doesn't care about Shabbos, and not because he's obtuse to the fact that people can get upset and sensitive, but because apparently the Rambam intuited and understood the Gemara to begin with, that Beis Hillel always knew that and always rejected it. B'shofi hitiru, without any problem, we were making Bigur Cholim, because the upside, the gains, the upside and the gain are too important to therefore to give up. And therefore, says the Tzitzel Yezer, another nafkamina will be, even if it will be upset, it's still important to go. Now, it could be the Mishnah Berurah does add, again, I alluded to before, Mishnah Berurah says, it's not good for people, you know, the Mishnah Berurah says, what's the Rav Chanina, what's people upset about, what was the Magen Avraham upset about? People who kind of wait the whole week, they could go, but somehow in their mind, Shabbos is the better time to go. So that's a mistaken mentality that Mishnah Berurah says. And I'm still not sure myself, is that Mishnah Berurah also only according to the Magen Avraham, but not according to this? Or even according to this, you would say, listen, all things being equal, as great as Onik Shabbos is, as great as Bigur Cholim is, and even though it's true, we're saying it would totally dwarf Onik Shabbos concerns. But why not have your cake and eat it too? Go on Tuesday, and then you don't have to lose anything. Or was the Mishnah Berurah limiting himself to the Magen Avraham? I'm not sure. But certainly the Shari Tshuva, certainly the Magen Avraham itself, as Tzitzel Yezer understands it, and I think it's a very, very good way to learn the sugya, all of that is going with a certain understanding of Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Chanina is qualifying even Beis Hillel. But, he says, the Rambam, the Tur, the She'iltos, and the Lavush, they're all going with a different understanding, that Beis Hillel ignores that, because as far as he's concerned, Bigur Cholim dwarfs any Onik Shabbos concerns, and therefore there's no reason to be upset about going on Shabbos, and even if you want to take that last little chumrah, that don't go off, you're too sensitive, no, be sensitive, if you can have your cake and eat it too, and keep your Onik Shabbos, that's great, but if not, it's still a cost that we're well and easily willing to pay.
This whole thing presumes that once you do
why?
Because otherwise what's Tuesday have to do with Shabbos, in other words, Christmas still sits.
Okay, I would say it mentions that it's a shear in the minimum, not in the maximum. As no one holds, in fact, this is mentioned in some of the poskim, no one holds that if you did it, you know, that there's this idea that, you know, just design. That I don't think so. Again, unless you want to say that's also part of the Rechinina, I don't know. But again, I can't remember who now, I can't remember who. Maybe it's in my notes, I don't know, but I can't remember who. One of the Mepharshim mentions that as a specific point. Ain't sheer the bigger cult.
Right.
So don't take from that. Don't, again, is it true that in terms of our own set, is one infinitely better than going at all? I think that's obvious. And once you've already gone once, so then you'll tell me I could go learn or do Birkat Cholim and how to negotiate those kind of things. Those are complicated decisions. But in the vacuum, it's true. You go 100 times, it's 100 different mitzvahs. Yeah.
Following up on this question just now, there are really two reasons given for Birkat Cholim B'chlal. What is the
Mishnah? I'm going to get to that. So all those things are almost always relevant multiple times. That's what you're saying. Okay, so don't steal my shiur. You're too smart. You're ahead of me. Let the Magashir say, you know, you're good, because I want to get to that. I want to mention one more thing, and I'm going to get to that moment. So within 5 minutes, I'm going to get to that. Within less than 5 minutes. Just to mention one more thing before we get to the Misha Berach issue, I saw in the Nishmas Avram, so this is just... Once we're on the topic, just to mention of Avigdor Cholim, an interesting psak that he discusses on his discussion of Siman Reish Pei Zayin, which is where this is in Shulchan Aruch. What if there's a Cholim Asukan, he says someone who's really in danger, who's begging for visitors. He needs to see visitors, either because he needs the help, he needs the chizuk, he needs the davening, he needs visitors, he's begging for it. And we're worried that he'll get worse. You know, the psychosomatic, you know, he'll get worse. The psychological connection, emotional, will affect the physical. So first, the Nishmas Avram says, quoting earlier poskim, that it's mutter to have a nachri, it's mutter to have a non-Jew drive you. But Amir the nachri is only in a sedar banan, driving. So sit in a car, b'malka mitzvah, b'igra cholim, maybe b'kuch nefesh, it should be mutter. However, he then quotes, but he says, at least according to these shitas, but for a Jew himself to be over in a sedar raisa to fulfill b'igra cholim, you know, you're not the doctor. The doctor's going to save his life. Your visit, it'll help. That's some group of poskim. If you keep on reading the Nishmas Avram, he quotes other poskim who say that this is no worse, even though you didn't go to medical school, for all those of us who didn't think we could make it, but at least this a shtick we can get, your mother could be proud, says these other poskim, that if that's really the case, that this person needs you so bad, feels that they need you so badly, is no worse than Safek B'Kuach Nefesh. And we have Paskin, this is Iska Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch many times. Safek B'Kuach Nefesh.
You also take away 1/60th of this sickness.
No, right, that's true. No, that's true anytime. So if a guy is sick with bronchitis, and I can take away 1/60th of it, or for that matter, he has a deadly disease. And we don't say therefore just mutter to drive on Shabbos. He's talking about a specific case where someone's already B'Malkim B'Kuach Nefesh, and for whatever reason, and we know that's like a subject, we don't judge if objectively it's true or not. We definitely take into account subjective concerns, and even if they're neurotic concerns in halacha, when it comes to Shabbos, that we have many riots for. But if someone who has a bad toe, or, you know, ingrown toenail, someone who's already in a serious danger, that's number one, and then they have it in their mind, for whatever reason, that they need a visitor, either specifically or generally, so some poskim say at least it's mutter al yidei nachri, and then he quotes a second group of poskim who hold it's mutter even by yourself to be, just like the doctor would be mutter to go. You can't do the same thing the doctor can do, but if it's even a possibility that the emotional chizuk would be enough, so again, I'm mentioning it to you because it's about Bigur Cholim, it's in the Siman Reish Pei Zayin, Bigur Cholim and Shabbos, which is our general topic, and because it's just an incredible issue, an incredible psak, some of these poskim, and you know, a little bit al-derech what I mentioned to Joel before, leave aside the details of the psak. It's very illustrative. It's an incredibly illustrative makor about how important Bikur Cholim is. Because like some of those other makoros are illustrative of how important Shabbos is. Yeah. Well, that I hope I don't need to illustrate. To me, the chiddush of that psak is how important...
How much you can be...
Right, exactly. As I said before, it depends what you're being machmir and what you're being makel on. He's being machmir in Bikur Cholim. Again, but he's also being machmir for the value of Kricholim, which I think is why it's in this simon being discussed and why I want to mention it now. Okay, we have a few more minutes left, so let's discuss the issue of davening for the person What I'm not going to mention is interesting. Many of you know and remember Ari Weintraub. So apparently he's still on the Shomer email list, and I'm proud to know. I guess he's listening now, or he will be listening soon. He listens to the Shurim every week from Philadelphia. So he also gets the email. So when he heard what the topic was going to be, he emailed me today that he thought I'm going to discuss one of his pet peeves, which is probably all of our pet peeves, of, you know, these incessant lines of people, you know, my grandmother once sneezed and she hurt her back, and therefore I need a Misha Berach for her, and I can't remember my second cousin's name, so can the host wait 5 minutes so I can remember the name? So then I replied, I said, that's not really my topic tonight, or what I call the Shomer shtick, which is, you know, when everyone insert your name silently, which is not just exclusive to the Shomrei. Many shuls are doing it now to avoid the tibur issue. So what bar there is, and how does that Misha Berach thing work, is an interesting topic, but that's not what I want to discuss. But I want to discuss the next siman in Shulchan Aruch is where you, is the locus class, because that's where you would branch out to discuss this, because that's where the Shulchan Aruch discusses an issue which is also mentioned in the Gemara, which is the question of davening for people on Shabbos. And again, it's in that same Gemara in Shabbos Afid Beis. In this case, it's Amud Beis. And the issue there is that we have a notion of not having tachnunim on Shabbos. We don't ask for personal trachim on Shabbos. We all know this. The best example of this is, right, the middle of our Shemon Esrei is different, right, because that's all bakashas, and we don't do bakashas on Shabbos. So the Lashon, even though there's different variations of it in the Gemara, but the Lashon, which we're all familiar with from our Mishaberach, from Shabbos Himilizog, or for Krovon Lavo, the Shabbos Himilizog, although it's not clear what it means, but that's already in the Gemara. Shabbos Himilizog is already in the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. I just want to mention, I have 5 minutes left, so the question was mentioned before, the issue was mentioned before, which is, what is the purpose of Yerucholim? There's a number of shitas about this. A lot of them come out of Rishonim from a Gemara in Maseches Nedarim Daf Mem, where describes a certain cholah that the Chachamim didn't visit, but Rabbi Akiva visited, and somehow the house got all cleaned when he came, and the cholah's trachim were taken care of, and the cholah afterwards, who recovers, says, Akiva, you brought to light, no one else did. So different Rishonim discuss different things there, but what did Akiva, so to speak, do? So, and it's really very fascinating. So some of Farshim say that Akiva went and he made the bed and he cleaned up and he did whatever he did. And you see from this, some Rishonim say that the Ikra purpose of Yerucholim is to you, the Mavaker, to so to speak, play nurse. You're supposed to do whatever the Chola needs. Very simple, very prosaic. You got to help them if they need to get a cup of water, you know, itch, scratch an itch, whatever you need to do. It's not emotional necessarily, even before that. Just very basic Trachim. Other Mefarshim have a variation of this, which is really fascinating. I think it's true to this very day, which is that, you know, one of the many things that helps with visitors is, and I think it's true in a hospital for sure, and it's probably also true in private care, when there are visitors coming, the care is better. As the medical staff knows that, you know, people are looking. An extension of this is if you have an aggressive advocate as a family member, that also makes a difference, let alone if the family member is a medical professional. But it's always good to have somebody there who's looking out for you and knowing what's going on. People mean well, but it's complicated when you're in medical care. And so some of Rishonim, the Rosh on the Gemara and the Dharma, they basically see that happening there too. That this cholah had left in disrepair. Akiva was coming, so all of a sudden everyone needed to make sure the cholah looked good. And the cholah understood that he got better care because Akiva came to visit him. Can you imagine? It's very fascinating. I think the echoes are true to this day. What a fascinating upshot in the Gemara. So that's still, we're trying to help with their tracham. Either personally we do it, or we just make sure that that's arranged. Others speak about just in more emotionally, nachas ruach, helping the chola, making him feel happy, he should feel not alone. And then there is a third approach, which comes also from later in that Gemara. Rishonim all quoted, but it's the Ramban who made it famous, that the reason is, it was alluded to before, to daven for the chola. And the Ramban goes so far as to say this. I don't know if the other Rishonim say, but the Ramban says in Taras Adam, if you do pick a cholam and do not daven for the chola, you won't yotze the mitzvah. As all the other things are nice, but the ikr is the fun of to daven for the chola, to daven for him. So if that's the case, that's a good segue too. So let's say I'm doing bigger cholam. Am I allowed to daven for my Shabbos? The Ramban says that's the whole mitzvah. But I'm not supposed to davening for tzrachim. I'm not supposed to do that kind of thing on a Shabbos. So that's, again, a background to understand and appreciate the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis. Because on Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara describes that. Again, the stakes are high, according to the Ramban, who the Ramban Yerdeya passes like. That's quoted lahalacha by Ramban Yerdeya, and it was bigger cholam, that Ramban. So if that's the case, how do we get around it? So the Rishonim speak about, based on this Gemara, which is on Daf Yud Beis, this idea of Shabbos Himilizog. What does Shabbos Himilizog mean? So there's different variations of it, but basically, I think it means, because of Shabbos, therefore, we can't, so to speak, be Lizog, but Shabbos itself, so to speak, you know, we would if we could, and as it is, we're still making an Askara, which is not the same thing there as a Tefillah, plus less heartfelt, but paradoxically, that's what's called for. And also, as some of Mefarshim understand, is the schus of Shabbos itself. It says Shabbos himi lizog. Shabbos can almost be the one that's crying out, and hopefully be a schus for the person.
The Ramban should pass him, and he can daven for Shabbos. That should be the Ramban's
pesach. I don't know if he.
You mean home is Trump Shabbos?
Right. No. So like we said before about the Ramban, there's no reason that you can't have your cake and eat it too. So again, so he would hold, you should just say the Shabbos Himilizog.
You don't even have to do that, you could daven for the Shabbos.
But again, you don't lose anything by saying Shabbos Himilizog, apparently. That's what the Gemara says, that's what you're supposed to say on Shabbos in a general sense. So I don't think you don't have to be gratuitous about it. If push came to shove, you would pick Bikur Cholim over Oneg, that's correct. But this is also not a question of Oneg, this is something else. But it could relate, because the truth of the matter is the Mishnah Berurah quotes from others that, again, the same thing is, if you'll do a more heartfelt prayer and you yourself are crying, you know, if you don't feel like Shabbos is going to stand in, I have to summon the Kavanas. So maybe, again, that'll move out to my own. So again, conceptually, I think you're right. You're right. But I just think that the corner of the Ramban, you don't have, he doesn't have, he won't have.
Not even opening it to not say, though. Davening for Tzvachim on Shabbos is not a Doraisa.
No, no. Right, again, so I think you're right. If you had to choose, I agree with you, then I think you're right. This only makes sense to me, that if you had to choose, maybe all Rishonim, but certainly the Ramban would choose this. What I'm saying is you don't have to choose, though. Again, the Ramban has to deal with the Gemara. There is a Gemara that describes these different formulas on Shabbos. So I just want to mention, though, and this is, I think, is not so well known, and that is, it's a Beferish in Shulchan Aruch. It's based on Machlokes Rishonim, the Beis Yosef, if you'll take a look, and Reish Pechas summarizes the Machlokes Rishonim. But bottom line, the way we pass it is, all of this is for a Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana. Ein Bo. But a Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana, you don't have to worry about it at all. Someone has a Sakana you're worried about on Shabbos? Pechokh Nefesh. Pechokh Nefesh Docha HaKol includes on Shabbos. So, absolutely. And to further that discussion, some of the poskim describe. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch later in the same siman says, what if someone has immediately life-threatening danger? The doctors say they're not going to live out the day. It's a sakana hayom. The mamash, this is going to be the day. So then the Shulchan Aruch says at the end of the siman, you can cry, you can dive, you do everything. Again, you can be machal Shabbos beferish. I'm running. I will take you one second. Let me just finish. The Tzitz Eliezer, by the way, Joel, the Tzitz Eliezer says what Joel said, which is, Hagufa, since we see that it should be allowed, therefore, if you don't do it, you won't yotzi your mitzvah, and since we're all going ahead doing it on Shabbos anyway, you might as well do it the right way. Again, there's no reason not to do Shabbos Meluzok, especially if it's a Cholesh Ein Vosakana. But again, you should just know, the whole halacha does not apply if it's a Cholesh Yesh Vosakana. Then everything is mutter. And I'll mention just in conclusion, that there is a huge machlokus about Army Sheberachs. The one who is anti, the one who would be the fan of all of the Tzirka and Tzibura people, although that's not the reason why, even he doesn't mention this as the reason, is Rav Yaakov Emden, the Shailas Yaitis. He mentions that the Minhag Olam, even in his day, people were doing these Misha Beirachs with Shabbos and Lizog and playing it, and he thinks it's all a mistake, should be Boteach, the Chus of Shabbos is enough for the Cholim, and forget about it. He is very upset. But he is a minority opinion, because the Beis Yosef, the Yosef Karo has tshuvas called Avkas Rochel, and in his tshuvas he mentions from his Rebbe, the Maribe Rav, where they asked him, and basically he describes, what did you know? Nedavis. Someone's been misnadev that people should say Mishaberach, Achol is misnadev that you should make a Mishaberach for them on Shabbos. So the Maribe Rav says people do it all the time, and he asks, should not be a violation of Tachlunim on Shabbos? And he says, Tachlunim on Shabbos is more heartfelt, really personal tefillos. And for Chosh, in Bosa Kona, that you're not supposed to do. But this is, you know, let's be, you know, what could this really do? Basically, what he says, it's just a Haskar Bahama, he says, just a Haskar Bahama. It's pro forma, it's formulaic. My words, not his, but that's basically what he says. Well, you know, how, no one cries in the Misha Berach in the middle of Shul, it's okay. So therefore, he says, you know, getting the dumbest out of it too, you know. So he doesn't say that. But therefore, he says, that's not going to be a problem. I just want to mention one last thing. There's a few other things to mention, but I'll mention one last thing since we're running out of time, which is, it's a good way to end. I saw an incredible drusha of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer's drusha is on, it's a Shabbat Shuvah drusha, so it's in the Sefer on Parshas HaZinu, where he asks the following question. According to at least some poskim, we seem to be more machmir about the whole idea of davening for the chola than we are actually treating the chola. So he asked the question, is it a little bit inconsistent or counterintuitive, but probably just inconsistent? If we're going to be mekel in sapek v'koch nefesh, and you know, mamish being mechal l'suri daraisa, and yet, again, I didn't get into, I didn't give you all the details, but you already see, there's this great tension. We don't want to daven for them, maybe in private, but not in public, in the tachnunim. We seem to be more likely to be matir real halakos than we are this guy. Even Joel asked before, what's the big deal? It's a daven on Shabbos, tachnunim? But the Chasam Sofer is acknowledging that there is a reality, but he asks, but why should it be? So listen to the answer he gives. It's incredibly powerful. He says, listen, schar mitzvah v'hai alma lako. What the schus of mitzvahs, he says, is v'olam haba. What gives you the schus in this world? Real actions. Again, the Lashon, it's quoted in Ishmael's, who quoted this? I can't remember if it's Nishmas Avram or Tzitz Eliezer. One of them quoted this Chasam Sofer. He gives you the whole Lashon. It's powerful. He says, what works in this world? Mili da'alma. Doctors work in this world. Chasam Sofer says this. Not me. because doctors work in this world. So when it comes to someone who's really sick, so the real world cures, the doctors, going to the hospital, etc., so that we're making on right away. But tfilos, that's accessing otherworldly powers. And that's not, he says, the primary way to be mevak, to mafil a chola in this world. Tfilos, that's nice, that'll help his ultimate chlios. Mitzvos, tshuva, all the, again, it's a very iconoclastic drusha, but he said in Pressburg, we should be able to say it in Baltimore. So he says, that is, therefore he says, we're more quickly to be mekil on more serious isurim when they're healing, as opposed to davening and other types of things, even though it's true, of course, the isur is on a much lower level, but there's no reason to run to even lower that bar, since that's not really the primary focus. The primary focus should be to, you know, to be mechazik the doctor. So, I think it was on a parshas Bahar or Kosa Yishir a few years ago, we spoke about refuah, and I am more than happy to do it again. Came out incredibly enthusiastically pro the medical profession. I encourage anyone who ever considers it, all things being equal, to go into it. It's the single most noble profession that one can have. And it's striking, I didn't know this, but this Chasam Sofer fits into that puzzle. It's an unbelievable thing to be involved. And the Chasam Sofer says, you know, Kimat, almost the sole reason, again, he's not denying for Shachar process, obviously, but it's hard to imagine somebody more strongly stating the noble role of doctors in this world. And it, according to Chasam Sofer, perhaps, is a drasha, but still, it even impacts the halacha. We're more willing to be mekel, it's an unbelievable thing, we're more willing to be mekel, the more severe yisurim, if it's part of normal health care, then we are lower yisurim if they're part of more spiritual means. So, I think a lot to think about. One thing we shouldn't lose sight of, the importance of Bikur Cholim, and also the importance of Onik Shabbos. A good Shabbos. How do